Welcome to Fundamentals of the Faith, a class that is designed to help Christians. Well, even just a preface of this class, it was actually designed as an evangelistic class that could be run at Grace Community Church to help introduce even unbelievers or new believers to Christian doctrine. And in it, as it's taken shape over the years, it's really become a super helpful, crystallizing course on what is the essential doctrine of the church, of the Christian faith. And so it's hopefully going to be helpful, very clear. I think it'll even cause you to think about things in a deeper way. And certainly, as you'll see, yeah, you get out what you put in. So there's lots of opportunity for growth here. To begin with, this is supposed to be a interactive class. This is meant to be and designed to be engaging discussion, bring questions, having you look at things and make some conclusions of your own. And so if that's not going to happen, this class gets kind of boring and I just sit here and talk about different things. So first off, we want to drive engagement. So I want to just give everybody an opportunity to tell us who you are. Who you are, your name, where you grew up, your favorite maybe two or three activities in your life, and something that you would like to get out of a class like this. Let's start over here in this group. Dave, Bill, Etienne. Dave, who are you? Where did you grow up? Two, three things about you or activities you like.
My name is David. Moved here in 79, been in town ever since then. Worked in logging for 20 years, went back to school and got into computers, worked for the city, worked for the banks, started my own business, and here I am 20 years later. Hobbies, computers.
Yep. Mexico. <No. laughs> All right, next.
Me next.
Yep.
Bill Wayne. Where'd
you grow up?
I grew up in the Kootenays, actually, interior, Preston. And I came to Campbell River. I was 21 years old. I was on the ferry coming to Campbell River. I was coming to some produce manager for the new store that we're building in Campbell River. And so that eliminates.
Two or three activities you enjoy.
Two or three activities I enjoy. Well, when the Lord saved me in 1969, I got into Bible study and teaching the scriptures. And I suppose the biggest part of my life in my extracurricular was studying the scriptures. But as far as I used to love to golf, play hockey, baseball, but most of the time I love fishing, but most of
cool.
The time I spent in scriptures.
Good. Right, next.
My name is Etienne. Grew up in South Africa. Moved to Canada 25 years ago. I'm a chartered accountant by profession. Never really practiced accounting, audit, created or started my own company. I have to join Bill in saying I enjoy scripture. I enjoy voting. Nothing as relaxing as being out on the water on a boat. I am by nature an introvert unless there are other people around.
There's a definition for you.
Get up. By God's grace, I belong to you.
Amen. All right, let's go to the back to our sound booth. We'll go back that way.
Eric, I'm a carpenter by trade. Also love reading scriptures, studying those, and other theologians and their study of the scriptures.
Grew up
in Guatemala's
Yeah, we could have been like childhood friends, but yeah, there you go. Cool, thank you. Let's go around the back there. Yep, that's you.
Okay.
Everybody get a chance to meet Dan yet? Dan and his family are fairly new here. So Dan grew up.
Yeah, I grew up near Windsor, Ontario. I worked here with the military in early 2011. I recently got out of the military 2 years ago. And now I teach the military aircraft maintenance. And activities like that with my kids, I've got a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-month-old. And so we're young family.
Cool.
My name is Scott. I grew up in Manitoba with my wife, Gavin. We have 9 children, 2 of which are married in. Saved in 2008. Yes, 2008. By the grace of God, I've grown in love for Christ and the church. And love sports. Still love to play sports.
What's your favorite sports?
Hockey and golf.
Golf. In that order. When you get knocked out of the playoffs, you go play golf. Yeah, there we go. Cool. Thanks. Let's come back up to the front right here. Name, where'd you grow up?
I'm from Vancouver. I grew up in Vancouver.
For 3 years. You grew up in California. Yeah. 2 or 3 activities you really enjoy?
Hockey, baseball, and fishing.
Fishing, yeah, there we go. Sports and fishing, there we go. Good.
I grew up in Vandenberg, Luke.
What's your name? Luke. grew up in
Vandenberg. I went to California when I was 5. I like hunting, fishing, sports, hockey,
and... Cool. Good.
I'm Roman, and I grew up in Vanderhoof, and I like hunting, hiking, and sports.
Good.
I'm Janelle, and I grew up in Vanderhoof, and I like sports, and I like baking, and cooking, and... Fishing
in there too. Janelle's lifelong goal has been to become a grandma, so yeah. There's just a few steps in between, that's all.
My name is Lori. I grew up in Port Alberni and moved to Lower Mainland in the early 80s. Moved back here before I married Bruce. We married in the Lower Mainland, came back to Nanaimo. And became a Christian in the year 2000, and praising God ever since. So, hobbies, I like being outdoors, riding a bike, just being with friends and family.
Yeah. Yeah, social butterfly, you're not an introvert by nature.
I'm Cheryl, I grew up in Nanaimo. I homeschooled my kids for 20 years, and then I DA'd at Christian school for 5. And I like boating and cooking and traveling, I guess.
Yeah, cool, exciting.
Yeah, I'm Carol's husband. We have 5 boys, and 2 of them are married. And I grew up mainly in Nanaimo, owned a business for 35 years, and retired last year. So my new hobbies are traveling.
Which you did a lot of in the last year. What were some of the places you went last year?
Well, we started by taking 2 months off in a motorhome, did like 30 U.S. states.
That was the states, yeah.
And then we
30.
Ended up in Europe, New countries there.
Yeah.
Went to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Took our whole family there.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks. Yep.
I'm Meredith. I grew up in, mostly in the Valley. I am a proud mom of 5 kids. My oldest daughter is married, and I love homeschooling and teaching my kids, and I love studying the Bible.
Thank you.
I'm Andy. I'm married to Meredith. I was born in Comox, raised in Comox Valley, lived here my whole life.
Andy likes hugs. It's probably one of his favorite activities.
People who know me know I'm an extrovert.
Yeah. Yep. You're an extrovert. You're an extrovert until there's people around. Favorite hobby is reading. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
My name is Timothy.
Timmy. Grew up. Where'd you grow up?
Courtney.
And two or three activities really enjoy.
Camping.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Awesome. How can we?
Bianca. I was born in Courtney. I like art.
Art.
School.
Art, school, read. Yeah. Art. Yeah, cool. Let's go right here, young man. Skating, yeah, very cool. And you grew up all over the place too, Edmonton. I guess Edmonton in here is that mostly it for you? Yeah, got.
Okay. I'm Levi. I was born in Nanaimo, but I grew up in Alberta, just outside Edmonton.
Yeah. Truth. Yeah, come on. What does Levi like to do? Crushing golf balls. All right. We'll let you off easy this time. Thank you. All right, there we go. That wasn't too hard, right?
Yeah.
Who did I miss? Janelle went. Scared me. All right. I am Jeremy. I grew up in Vanderhoof. We moved down to the state of sunny California in 2017. And I like a lot of things. I like sports, but I really have come to love the outdoors. So anything out there, fishing, hunting, hiking. My goal in life is to climb a mountain someday, like a legit mountain. That'd be one thing I really strive for. Janelle probably thinks I'm going to die on top of Everest someday and leave her a widow, but... But not alone, yeah. All right, so we can do this. We can interact. All right, let's meet the one guy that just snuck in the back. Name, where you grew up, and two or three hobbies of yours.
William, grew up in the Valley here,
competitive 3D and hunting. Yeah, cool. And cars and all those other manly things. All right. Just a quick introduction today. What we're trying to establish is kind of explain how this course is going to go, what we're going to cover, and then get into kind of the beginning. I'll explain how to use those books you have, those homework books, and what you can expect elsewhere. So just a layout. Again, I have a PowerPoint, but you can't see it. So I'll just have to, I'll read things for you and let you know what we need to know. So a course layout, there's 13 different chapters, 13 different lessons, and you can see the table of contents in the beginning of your book there. It lists these. So we study the Bible. What is the Bible? The nature of Scripture, the doctrine of Scripture. 2, how to know the Bible. How do we read it and understand it? 3, God, the doctrine of God, his character and attributes. 4, the person of Jesus Christ. 5, the work of Christ. 6, salvation. So you can see 3 chapters devoted to Christ and his person and work. 7, the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. 8, prayer and the believer. And there we kind of turn into a very practical section of the curriculum. 9, the church. What is the church? Our fellowship and worship, life in the church. 10, spiritual gifts. 11, evangelism and the believer. 12, obedience. And 13, God's will and guidance. So those are the different chapters that we're going to cover. Some of these chapters will take more than one class time to get through. And just know, we're not on any like time crunch. So the goal isn't to like hammer through a chapter, make sure I get through all the material. The goal is to engage. And so if we get sidetracked on a certain issue, a certain question, and we delve into that and discuss it at length on a Sunday morning, that's great. That's good. That's invited, and that's what we want. So we will make it through when we make it through. All right. Here's my number one principle for the class. You get out what you put in. So there's a couple things that are available to you that you want to do if you want to really get the most out of it. First, there's going to be a memory verse for each chapter. And so I would highly recommend that you devote time to memorizing those verses. Just a heads up, the first one for today is 2 Timothy 3:16. And so that's what we want to memorize for next week, 2 Timothy 3:16. There's a sermon on gty.org/FOF. That's in your books in the introduction there somewhere. So you can find that on the website. There's FOF. There's sermons that go with all 13 classes, all 13 chapters. And so listen to that sermon. Take notes in that sermon. And as you do that, have your books open and take notes right in there, but then also listen for the fill-in-the-blank answers, things of that sort. And then after you listen to the sermon, go and work through the rest of that assignment. If you want to take this assignment, this class seriously, I invite you to fill out your homework and bring it to me, and I'll correct it, I'll mark it for all the different chapters and give it back to you so that you have it kind of as a resource of Bible knowledge from there on. And you could go back to that as kind of a survey. And then after you finish the homework assignment, prepare for the class. Write down questions. Every time you come to class, you should have a Bible, notebook, and pen, and your homework book. And I hope that through the week, as you've thought through the topic and worked through your assignment, you'll bring up some questions, and you'll write those down that you're going to ask me on the next Sunday. So prepare for class through that way. Come ready to start at 9:15. We're going to be kind of crunched at the deadline of our class time to end by 10:15 so we can get ready for the worship service. So come be ready for 9:15. And then you get out what you put in class engagement. If you sit here and you just listen, Maybe you're that kind of learner, but I guarantee you will learn more and you will get better clarity on things if you ask questions. Just a rule on questions. If you have a question that's in your mind, likely somebody else has that same question. And there's no such thing as there are dumb questions, but in the classroom setting like this, when it has to do with our topic, there's no dumb question. Don't feel dumb about asking a question, because that's one, pride gets in the way and it hinders us from learning. And so we want to ask those questions so we can bring out truth and clarity. Okay? How do you guys learn? Visually, verbally, taking notes, talking, doing. Do you guys know yourselves well enough to identify those things? Who here is a visual learner? Okay, so you like to see things, right? That's one reason why I like to have a PowerPoint for those kind of learners. Who is a verbal learner who just sits there and likes to be lectured at, and that's how you learn? Yeah, we got a couple that would hold to that. Okay, who likes to talk through things in order to learn? Yeah, so that I expect you kind of people to engage in this class a lot. And then who needs to go do things? Yeah. Well, you got homework and you got, I'll be sending resources with you. I'm just going to unload a biblical doctrine on Dan and make him read the whole thing, and he needs to go and do it. But think about those different ways you learn and apply that to this class. And make sure you take all that you can. You get out what you put in. Okay, so you can expect me to come prepared to teach from the Bible on these topics. You can expect me to engage you, to ask you questions and try to pull you in. And you can expect that you'll have a resource of knowledge by the end of it. Yeah, what are some goals? Someone want to look up for us Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verse 13. We can do a Bible sword drill and see. When you get it, you stand up. All right. Mr. Scott Tucker, you get to pull your sword and read for us Exodus 33, 13.
But now I pray, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. See also that this nation is your people.
So that I may know you. And it's interesting, actually, that concept comes up in this lesson, and it's going to fit very closely with our message in the sermon this morning. So here's a main goal, to know God. What does it mean to know God? That's kind of an open-ended question for you just to kind of ruminate on right now. I don't want you to preach my sermon for me, but how do we know God? How do you gain the knowledge of God? By knowing his word. Yeah.
Communion.
What do you mean by that?
Prayer.
Praying. Okay. And what's so important about that communion aspect of knowing God? Okay, illumination of the Holy Spirit. Yep. How else do we know God? Boys? Boys Club on Thursday? Creation tells us about God, right? The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Okay? So the goal of this class is expose us to truths that help us to know God, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. Another purpose, another goal of this class is one, to help even young children come to a knowledge of the gospel, to know Jesus Christ and to know what it means to be a Christian, to understand the gospel. and to grow in your faith in Christ. And two, secondly, for believers to gain an assurance. When we know God, when we know Him more deeply, we gain a rich assurance. What's assurance? What do I mean when I say the word assurance?
Confidence that you're saved.
Confidence that you're saved. Yeah. Yeah. A confidence that I know God, I am saved by God, He knows me. Okay? And third goal is to be equipped, right? Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, pastor teachers like me are given to do what? Equip the saints for the work of service, the ministry. And so this class is meant to give you the tools and instruments and resources, knowledge that you can take and minister and serve to others, to even show you how to do that. So those are kind of three goals. To first and foremost, to know God, to know that you have eternal life, to have assurance, and to be equipped. Okay. Yeah. This is the part where I really want my PowerPoint. But this class is an attempt to do theology. Okay, do theology. So the first question I have for the group here is, what is theology? In your understanding, in your definition, what is theology?
Studying God's nature.
Studying God's nature. All right. That's theology proper. Good job. Theology. Okay, studying God's nature. What else would we say? What is theology to you? Is it some like big academic topic that only the scholastics try to... The study of God. Okay, good. The study of God. Anything else? I mean, that basically... Study of doctrine, okay? What's doctrine?
Teaching.
The teaching the Bible teaches. Study of God's word is, that's part of theology, right? Yep. Okay? The study of God. And how do you do theology? If you were going to study history, what kind of steps would you take to become an expert in history?
Lots of reading.
Lots of reading. Reading what? What are you going to read? History books written by historians. Okay, if you're going to study English literature, what are you going to do? If you're going to study accounting, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the experts on those topics, right? Those subjects. Who is the expert in theology? God, right? And so how do we do theology?
God wrote the Bible. We study God.
So we become students of God, and we study what God Himself has said about Himself, right? So our first topic today is going to be Revelation. We're going to talk about that doctrine today. But it's so important to recognize that theology, the study of God, is so dependent on God Himself being our teacher, learning what He has taught about Himself. Okay, and then what is the purpose of theology? What would be some goals in theology? If we're going to study God, what should be our goals?
To know God,
first and foremost. To know God. What He expects. His instructions. Yes. Yeah. To know how to have eternal life. So there's this concept of knowing about God. That's one goal in theology, right? Is to know truth about God. To know His existence, His nature, His attributes, His works, His instructions. But then there is that that other level. How did you say it?
To know how you're saved.
To know to have a relationship with that God. So it's not just knowing about God, but it's actually knowing God himself. Yeah. Who he is. Yes. Okay. Another goal. Other goals of doing theology.
A very perspective
on life. Yeah. To think rightly about your life.
So you can see your circumstances correctly.
Yep. Right? Yep. To give you a foundation, a rock that you stand on, and then even help you to comfort others and minister to others as you learn. Good. Other goals? To become teachers. Those who follow the master, to become like him and to become a teacher yourself. A.W. Tozer, in The Pursuit of God, said this: there is no lack of Bible teachers to set forth correctly the principles of the doctrines of Christ. But too many of these seem satisfied to teach the fundamentals of the faith. Interestingly enough, this curriculum was written long after A.W. Tozer. He's not referring to this book, but he uses that word. These men, these Bible teachers, are satisfied to teach the fundamentals of faith year after year, strangely unaware that there is in their ministry no manifest presence nor anything unusual about their lives. They minister constantly to believers who feel with their breasts and longing with their teaching simply does not satisfy. And so ultimately, the purpose of theology is to drive us to worship, to drive us to a transformed life, and that we wouldn't only be hearers of the words, but doers of the word. And ultimately, that is to give glory to God in all things. Okay, so that's the purpose of theology. Theology is far more than just a rigorous intellectual study. Theology is the process of knowing God. Okay? The fruit of theology. That brings me just to this one point. Back in seminary, my theology professor always began Theo 1, the first class on theology, the doctrine of God, by presenting us with this concept he called blessed despair. Blessed despair. And he says that blessed despair is that despair of intensely searching out God's nature and finding his nature infinitely beyond what one has learned or can learn or reason. The study of God produces a profound despair. The fact that you can never attain to what you are searching for. But it is a blessed despair because it leads one to wonder and worship. And this glorifies God and fulfills the human soul. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how searchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? To him and through him and for him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Romans 11. So there is the warning that this pursuit of theology, this pursuit of knowledge of God, of knowing God, is a pursuit of blessed despair. Okay, this morning, we are going to talk about the doctrine of revelation, the revelation of God. This is where it all begins. What does it mean for something to be revealed? What does revelation mean? Okay, revealing something that has not been yet known, and that revealing involves sight, seeing, communication, okay?
Revelation is supernatural in the sense that it doesn't come from ourselves, comes from somewhere else.
Right, if we're talking about the revelation of God that comes from God. We reveal things all the time. We show things. But the revelation of God is supernatural, and we'll talk about that. Okay, revealing. What else comes to mind when we think about revealing?
Exposing.
Uncovering, expanding, expositing, huh? Opening up. That's a good one. Good word. Okay, so revelation is this finding, this discovery, this seeing, beholding God, the revelation of God. And God has revealed them. We in theology, we kind of categorize two different means or categories of revelation. Anybody know those two? General revelation. Okay, we're going to handle the second one first. General revelation. General revelation. What do we mean by general revelation?
Creation.
Okay. Yep.
Conscience,
yeah. Okay, things that are available to be known, and we're talking specifically about God, that are available to be known by all men, okay? That is general revelation, and we get general revelation from these things as creation. Mikhail?
Michael.
Hi, nice to meet you. This is just our fundamentals of the faith class. Okay. Welcome here. From Powell River, right? No, you're way early. The worship service starts at 10:30 now. So whatever you want, you're more than welcome. If you want to grab, this is a Fundamentals of the Faith class, just a study of Christian doctrine. We got books if you want to grab books, but whatever you guys want. Good to have you guys here. Okay, so revelation is God showing us who he is. And he does these in general revelation and special revelation. A general revelation is, we will call it this, the natural and nonverbal revelation of God. Those two words, natural and nonverbal. And so we see this in different ways. Can I get somebody to grab Psalm 19. Somebody go to Romans 1. Somebody else go to Romans 2. Somebody go to Ecclesiastes 3. And we'll start with that. Okay, so general revelation, Psalm 19. Somebody read for me the first three verses. Okay, good. What is the actor in those three verses? Who is doing the action in that? The heavens. Also, the stars. The, right? Okay, so that would all be a summary of creation. Okay, creation. What is creation doing? What's the action being done in that passage? Revealing the glory of God. So if we take our definition of revelation, creation is what? Manifesting, showing. Right. Exactly. Someone read for us Romans 1, 18 to 20, whoever went to Romans 1.
The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness,
Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since creation of the world his invisible attributes, both his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse.
Good. Okay, especially in verse 19 and 20 there, especially verse 20. What is the actor in that passage?
Creation.
A phrase in there that verse 20 specifically used, the things. The things that have been made. The things that God has made. And what is the action? Revealing. What is being reviewed? Revealed. Reviewed. His power and divine nature. Okay, so creation has in it, right, this general revelation of things about God. How do we see the nature and power of God in creation? A thunderstorm.
Hurricane.
A hurricane.
A baby being born.
A sunset.
A sunset.
The world holding together.
Yeah. The fact that we don't freeze to death or melt to death. Exactly the right orbit. Okay, and just know these are where we see God's nature on display. Now, how do you go from seeing general revelation to receiving general revelation? How do you go from observing those things in creation to actually learning about God?
You have to have a special revelation. There's a jump from general revelation, which you might enjoy a sunset or the waves,
right,
or the clouds, but until you have somebody tell you where that all came from, it's a mystery to you.
Right. But the things about God are evident to all, right? They should recognize that God is the one that's put this on display so that they will be without excuse. Right? We're jumping into special revelation. I believe that creation gives revelation to all people that they should know something about God.
We can observe the beauty of it, we can observe the absolute intricacy and draw down even to a molecular level of creation.
Mm-hmm.
Solar system puts together and operates and functions. That God upholds all of this. So there is a massive amount of God's nature to be seen in his creation.
A simple definition of God: he is the greatest being possible. Right, that would be a simple definition of God. The concept of God is that God is the greatest being possible. And so when you look at all these things, you think of the beauty of things that have been created. That tells you about the greater beauty of the one who created it. You look at the power of things that were listed, and that tells you that there has to be a greater power, a greater powerful one. You look at the intricacy of the order. There has to be a greater intelligence than the things that we see and observe in creation, right? It's what? Yep. Yep. Right, right. And so it's taking those things in creation and reflecting it to God. There is a necessary awareness to come to God. We need to have special revelation help us get all the way there. But there are things that are evident in creation. The next one was in the conscience. Someone have Romans 2, verses 14 to 15. Yeah.
Gentiles who do not have the law, do instinctively the things of the law. These not having the law are a law of themselves, and they show the works of the law written in their hearts, the conscience, and the thoughts ultimately accusing or else defending.
Okay, what is the conscience? It's that little pair of angels that sit on your shoulders, right? One good, one bad, and they tell you. No, what is the conscience? What's the human conscience?
You know right and wrong. I think that's part of conscience.
Yep.
Awareness of living and dead.
It's a warning device that is often met.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
The law of God written on our hearts.
Yeah. Okay, these are good definitions. And who has the conscience? Everybody has a conscience, right? The verse said that even those who do not know God, right? The Gentiles, the ones who are far from God, they have the law of God written on their heart. And it accuses or excuses them according to what is right and wrong. Okay, so there is a conscience. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. Anybody have that?
Just the, 3, 11.
Yep.
He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into a man's heart. Yet, so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end.
Okay, so what else is on the heart of man?
Eternity.
An awareness that there is a life after death, that this isn't all there is, that it's not just physical matter, but there... Definitely, yeah. I would say it's part of us being created in His image, that we were created to reflect His glory, to know His glory, and to reflect His glory, to be in relationship with Him. So the conscience is a tool towards that. Okay, so you can see how the conscience then reveals things about God. If everybody in the world, every tribe in the world, understands that killing somebody is wrong, what does that tell you?
God has planted it in men have a conscience, and killing is wrong.
Killing is wrong. There's an awareness within us that there is a lawgiver. There is somebody who we are being held accountable, and our conscience is telling us, if I do this, I'm going to be guilty. But because of that, before God, there's this awareness, innate awareness in us of right and wrong, of eternity, other things probably that would be wrapped up in the conscience. Okay, so the conscience is part of general revelation. One more that's part of general revelation, I would call it providence or history. How the world goes about, how human history goes about is part of general revelation. Matthew 5, 45 speaks to God giving water to the crops of the good and the evil. Everybody is given from God's hand what they need for life to exist. And so there is evidence of who God is, that He's good, that He's gracious, that He's just, and certain things happen in this world to reveal his existence. So providence is a general revelation. Okay, what is the purpose or the end goal of general revelation? So thinking about all those different things we've identified as general revelation, what's the purpose?
Lead you to the existence of God.
Okay, lead you to the existence of God. Yeah, I like that.
Take away an excuse.
Take away an excuse. Every person has this innate knowledge that God exists and you have no excuse. And you even have that knowledge of right and wrong. Good? To glorify God, Psalm 19:1. Any others? Okay, what can general revelation accomplish? Kind of stemming right from the purposes that we just listed. What can general revelation accomplish?
Leading to a pursuit of who God is.
Okay, lead you into a pursuit.
Yeah.
Okay, so that. Go ahead, Bill.
I think built into every man is ability and desire even to live a good life. In a sense, even though we have the fallen nature, how far you can take that to champion because of the fallen nature, because of the depravity of man, I guess we don't really seek after a good life for everybody. We seek after a good life for ourselves. You know, we're very self-centered. The ability to improve. I don't know.
Ecclesiastes is a book a lot about on the general revelation of God. Right? Solomon going to learn from all this wisdom about the things he sees in creation, the things he experiences in providence, and even his own conscience. What does the book of Ecclesiastes leave with the person who just observes general revelation?
Worship creation.
Right.
Because for those that have suppressed the truth and righteousness, then they actually worship creation in a way that they're obviously not worshiping the true God, they're worshiping the actual things that God made.
Hmm. So general revelation can make people worshipers. Mm-hmm. But maybe not the right God to be worshipped, worshiping creation instead of God. Okay, so really, what comes to the end of general revelation is the question, can revelation bring you into a right relationship with God? And the answer is no. And so that's where we need to turn to special revelation, what we call special revelation. And this we would call the primarily verbal and supernatural disclosure of God to man. It's very personal. He is speaking to us, telling us exactly who he is. He tells us who we are. He tells us what he expects of us. He tells us the consequences for not living up to his standard. He tells us how can that chasm created by our disobedience be rectified, be solved, how can we be saved, right? And you need special revelation in order to come to a saving knowledge of God. Hebrews 1:1-2, somebody read that for us.
Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world.
Good. So special revelation is God speaking verbal, supernaturally, to us about the knowledge that we need to actually know him, to have a relationship with him. How does God speak? Just even thinking through what it says right there in Hebrews chapter 1, how has God spoken to us in a special way? Through his word? Through his son? The prophet. How did he speak to the prophets? Visions? Parables? Okay.
Sometimes they heard
your voice. Audible voice? How else? Yeah, so that they are being inspired to write their scriptures.
A donkey.
Yeah. Theophanies. Okay, that's one that I wanted to hit, right? That God actually showed up, and I believe, here's my dissertation for my PhD or something, but I believe that every time God reveals himself to us, in Old Testament and New Testament, it's through the Son. And so theophanies, the burning bush, right? The angel of Yahweh shows up, and he is himself Yahweh, and he speaks to Moses directly, personally. Who is that? I believe that's the pre-incarnate Son of God. That's Christ before he was born in 0 AD. I would. I believe that the visible manifestations, the showing up of God in Old Testament and New Testament is always the Son of God. Nobody has ever seen God, but the God who is in the only begotten, who is in the bosom of the Father, the Son, he has made him known. He has showed him to us. He is the image. The Shekinah glory, the pillar of fire and the cloud would be the Son of God. The glory of God would be the Son of God. He is the visible manifestation. And so when he shows up in human form, we now have the completion of revelation, right? The fullness of special revelation in Jesus Christ. And that is the ultimate perfect revelation of God, of himself. And then we get his word, a good study. I don't have time to go through this. We're going to wrap up here right now. But a good study for you is to go back to Psalm 19 and look through verses 7 to 11, highlight the different terms used of the Word of God, okay, the special revelation of God's Word. Highlight that, underline what the Word accomplishes. You can underline what the word accomplishes. So the actor in those passages is the word of God. What does it accomplish? Restores the soul, makes wise, all those things. And then circle or something, make another note of how the word of God is described. What is attributed to the word of God? Just noticing those things, and those show us the necessity of special revelation. The greater substance that we have in Revelation. Okay, so in order to study God, we need to learn from God, and to learn from God, he has given us his word, his special revelation. That's where it all starts. That's why all theology ends up starting with the doctrine of Scripture, because that is where we learn about God to begin. Otherwise, every class would start with the doctrine of God. But we need to understand first where we learn about God. Okay, that's it. Let's close in prayer, and we'll get ready for the worship service. Andy, would you close us in prayer?